tonight we are going to get into the Word, and we're going to start in Romans chapter 8, verse 22. Romans 8, 22. And tonight, I wanted to share on how we can be difference makers. How we can be difference makers. And God encourages us in a couple different ways to be our best for Him and to be a difference maker. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by," and the word "by" should be "to," "hope." We are saved to hope. "But hope that is not," or "hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" If he can see it, what's he hoping for? He can see it. Verse 25, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And the word "wait" there has the greater meaning of like with a passion or with a delight. That's the kind of waiting that's taking place. So it's with a patience that we wait with it, wait for it with a delight, with a passion. So difficult times will come and go, but we have the hope, right? We have the hope of Christ's return. That's part of our encouragement. That's part of what God gave us in order to make those difficult times easier to deal with, is the hope, right? Go to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John 16. So God understands the ways of the world. He knows what the adversary does among unbelievers. But He's given us a hope. And it's something that we can be passionate about, that we can wait, you know, with anticipation and with great zeal and look forward to help us to be encouraged. In John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have" what? That's right. Tribulation. Right? It's a shall. It's gonna happen. "But be of good cheer. Be happy. I have" what? "Overcome the world." So in the world, there is gonna be tough stuff. But God encourages us and reminds us that Christ overcame. Right? And it's God in Christ in us. Right? So we too have overcome the world, right? That tribulation's gonna happen, but Christ overcame. It's just momentary, right? He's coming back, and we have the hope. So go to Philippians 2:13. One of the responsibilities that we have as believers is to be a difference maker. But God's given us a way to kind of navigate the world, to be able to endure it, to kind of put up with it. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you." It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Right? So in this crazy world where there is tribulation and there is bad stuff happening, it's God who is at work in you. And that's pretty incredible to think about. Because no matter how nuts it is out there, who's at work in you? God. That's crazy, right? When you really stop and think about it, it's God who's working in you, right? Not the adversary, not nothing at all, you're not alone, but instead it's God who is at work in you, right? What a difference there is anywhere that you are present, because God is there too, right? If he's working in you, then he's there present, right? We need to be lights. We need to dispel the darkness. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Right? So the world might be full of tribulation. There might be things that stink about the world. But wherever you are, God is there. God is at work in you, if you let him. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Right? So, do we have God in Christ in us? Do we have Holy Spirit? Right. And where that Spirit is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Right, so we can be that light bearer. We can show people what it's like to be free, because there's a lot of people that are bound up by what's going on, right? There's a lot of people that are kind of tangled up and feel like all hope is lost, or they have no idea what to do, right? And we represent that freedom to them, right? They should look at us and say, well, how come they're so blessed and so happy with all the crap that's going on? Why is this not affecting their life and making them nuts like it is everybody else? Right? And that's an opportunity to demonstrate the freedom that we have because of God and Christ in us. Right? But then we have to tell them about it. Right? Then we have to explain to them that we're not just cuckoo. We're not just ignoring everything. But that, you know, there's a rest and there's a peace and there's an ease because of what God has accomplished. Go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. Right? We represent God. That's how we can make a difference, by representing God. Right? When people look at you, they should think you're a little bit weird and odd, right? Because you're different from the world, but that's okay. They should see the good of why you're different and weird. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of what? Truth. Right? And so, we are essentially living in the church, the household of God, right? We should act like God's a part of our house, wherever we are, that we represent God, that he's right there with us, right? That we have the privilege of living in the presence of God. And that's how we should live our lives. That should be our general attitude, is, yeah, God is a part of my life and what I do. He dwells in me. He basically lives with me, right? And that should be our attitude, because that will make a difference in people's life as they see it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, right? So he's talking about how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. But as we'll see in Ephesians, that's not a physical building of any kind, right? Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore are you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of bricks and cement and all that stuff. Now, it's upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, you know, with wood and studs and plywood and nails. No, it's in whom, it's in people. All the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Right? The house of God isn't a building, it's people. It's us. It's not a structure. It's not these four walls that we're here having fellowship in tonight. It's the people that make up the body of Christ. It's us, right? We're a habitation of God through the Spirit. He dwells in us, right? His presence is in our lives, and that's what we should be manifesting to people outwardly, right? Is that God is right there with us. That's how we can be a difference maker. Go to Romans 10, verse 9. We all know this one. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And this is what we now need to share with people. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the good news that we have to share, right? The gospel refers to the good news, and this is the best news there is. The opportunity to be born again, to be completely changed inside and out, to have God dwelling in you. That's something that we should want to share with people. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. That shouldn't be something you're ashamed of, right? It should be something you're proud of, that you are a believer, that you are a son of God, that God dwells in you. That should be something that you tell people, not to be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. Hypothetical questions with an obvious answer. They can't. Did you know that 10,000 meters under the sea off the coast of Australia lives a tiny little fish who glows in the dark and eats all kinds of crazy bacteria that help to save the world? Did you know that?
No.
No. Because I just told you that. You didn't know that until I what? Told you that. So how can you even believe that that's true unless somebody what? Tells you. Now that's not true at all, right? I just made that up. But you couldn't even believe it unless I told you about it. Wouldn't it be something you would have thought about, right? So we have to tell people that about the good news, about the gospel, that this is available. This is how you get born again. This is how you get saved. Because without even hearing it, how is anyone to believe it, right? Why are you so happy? Because I'm a son of God. Because I've got peace. Because I'm happy. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for me. Right? We can strike up the conversation. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Right? How beautiful that is. This is our privilege and our opportunity. Right? We are difference makers. And God encourages us to do this stuff. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. God wants a bigger family. And we should want more believers to fellowship with. And that involves being a difference maker, speaking the word. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not because somebody, you know, constrained you or nagged you into it, but because you want to. Not for filthy lucre, not to get paid back in some form or manner, but of a ready mind, right? And that's prothumos, intensity at its peak, right? Just with a great fervor and desire, not because you're going to get anything out of it, but because you are just that motivated and excited. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, right? And this is the other thing that God has called us to do. He's called us to tell people about his son and what he accomplished so that we can get other people born again. And then he's also asked us to care for his flock, to take care of one another. Now this is specifically addressed to leaders, but we're all here mature believers in the church, right? And this is God's request that we be examples, that we take care of people, that we feed the flock and care for them. Right? That's something that we can all do in our own way, is to make sure that the flock, the body, is taken care of. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Right? Because speaking the word leads to more people hearing it. More people hearing it leads to more people coming to fellowship. And then it's our responsibility to take care of them, to look for ways to serve and to bless and to get in with them and to understand who they are and help them to become rooted and grounded, right? We all know the parables of the sower and the seed. There are people who hear the word and for a short time believe it and then take off, right? But as we feed the flock, we help them to become rooted and to be grounded. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, unnecessarily or excessively large amounts of something. Lay apart all filthiness and excessively large amounts of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to what? Save your souls. That's right. And that's referring to making you whole. Right? The word of God makes you whole. The word of God heals all kinds of things in a person's life and a person's heart. Right? It really ministers and takes care of all kinds of needs, whether those needs be physical or mental or whatever it is. It's the word that makes people whole. Right? And so as we feed the flock, it's with the word to make them whole, to save their souls, to help fill in those gaps. Because a lot of times those, you know, new people that you just witnessed to, they've got baggage and they got stuff that you've got to kind of help them through. Right? So the word is what makes people whole. Go to, and listen, everybody's got baggage. I've been believing the word since I was a little kid. I got baggage. We all need it. Romans 13:12. But you can make a difference, right? That's God is encouraging each and every one of us to be difference makers. And this is how we can do it. Feeding the flock. giving people his word so that they get the deliverance they need. Romans 13:12. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light. And that armor of light in the context is love, right? Verse 10, love worketh no ill will to his neighbor, for love is the fulfilling of the law. And now is high time, right? So the context of those verses following is love. So we cast off the works of darkness and we put on love. We put on that armor of light, right? What shields people from hurt and from all the crap that they're dealing with is love, right? Is love. Chapter 12, verse 20, back up page or book. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt keep coals of fire on his head. You'll warm him right up. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? So be kind and loving to everybody, even your enemy. That might open the door for you to minister to them or to soften their hearts to the word, right? It's just to love them, to heap those coals of fire on them, right? To just warm them up and change them from the outside in. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 14. Well, let's go to 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Right? There's that freedom again, that freedom that we have. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Right? Just because you are free, just because you have been forgiven, we don't need to act like old man nature and how the world expects us to. That's walking according to the flesh. But by love, serve one another, right? Love is serving each other, helping one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? That's how we're to love. We're to love people the same way that we would want to be loved, right? And Christ said to love people the way that he loved them, right? And he loved everybody. We're going to close in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Right, so all the law can really just be summed up in a nice little bow of love. If we walk in love, we're going to be taking care of people. We're going to be making a difference in their lives. We're going to be helping them. That love is real important. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, which means conduct yourselves like men. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity, with love. Right? So, God's encouraging us and imploring us to stand fast in his faith, to be strong, to act the way that he's called us to be, to walk worthy of that calling, and to do it all with love, because that's what really makes a difference in people's life. Is that love of God. When they see you loving that way, it's going to change them. It's going to make a difference, right? So we can be difference makers.